The Guardian.
Guardian podcasts are partnered with audible.co.uk. For a free download, be sure to check out guardian.co.uk/audible, where Guardian listeners can choose any audiobook for free. See the page for more details.
Hello and welcome to a Guardian Books podcast special edition with me, Sarah Crown. It's the day after the Orange Prize ceremony, at which the 17th and final Orange Prize for Women's Fiction was awarded to Madeline Miller for her debut novel set in the Greek Age of Heroes, The Song of Achilles. Madeline has joined us on the phone this morning to talk about her win. So Madeline, first of all, congratulations. This is your first novel and you were up against some serious heavy hitters on the shortlist. Anne Enright and Anne Patchett, who's obviously won the Orange before, and Cynthia Ozick. And so the first thing that I wanted to ask you really was whether it was a surprise when they read out your name or if you were sort of quietly confident all the way through.
Oh my goodness, it was a huge surprise. Just absolutely huge. And, you know, I was so honored and so excited to be on the shortlist with such incredible writers. And incredible women that, you know, that was amazing. And then to hear my name read, I was just completely in shock. It felt like a dream.
Mm. And obviously it is your first novel as well. So presumably when you published it, you didn't really expect the journey of publication to end here.
No, I didn't at all. And it was a novel that I worked on for such a long time. Mm. It was really, you know, 10 years. And so I was sort of living with it and living with it, and I never could have imagined this.
Yeah, and so, yeah, as you said, it took you 10 years to write. What was the spark in the first place?
Well, I had always loved the mythology about Achilles and the Trojan War and sort of all the Greek mythology. But I think what really kind of sparked me to write it was the fact that I directed a play about Shakespeare's Troilus and Cressida, which is Shakespeare's version of the Trojan War. And doing that was so intellectually engaging and exciting for me that I think it kind of made me realize that I wanted to participate in telling these stories, not just reading about them, but kind of telling them myself. And so that's what that was really the beginning, that when that play was over, I kind of sat down in front of my computer and started writing.
Was it intimidating to take on? Because as you said, it's not even just Homer that you're rewriting it. Homer and Virgil and Shakespeare and countless other people who've gone before and retold this story. It's quite a burden of history, isn't it?
Well, I was at the time, I just was so absorbed in the story and so passionate about it that I sort of didn't stop to think, oh my goodness, what am I doing? I'm very glad I didn't. but I never thought as I was working that I was rewriting Homer, because, you know, Homer is Homer and he stands sort of on his own. But because the stories are so wonderful and so expansive, I felt like there was sort of room to write back to him in a way. So, you know, I never thought, oh, the Iliad needs an update, I'm rewriting the Iliad. That wasn't my intention at all. It was sort of to tell the story of Patroclus, which doesn't really get told in the Iliad.
Yes, and you go into a corner of the Iliad that as you say, is fairly unexplored, even by Homer. This character, Patroclus, who we don't really see very much of him in the Iliad at all. He makes quite a fleeting appearance. What was it about his character that attracted you?
Well, I think the first thing that really drew my attention about him was just how intensely grief-stricken Achilles is when he loses him. I mean, just like completely, his life is totally overturned. And so that in itself is, you know, the whole Iliad, we see Achilles really only caring about his own reputation. And suddenly he loses Patroclus and he is just so gripped with grief and rage. And so I said, well, this must be a really amazing person if that's Achilles' reaction, the only thing he cares about more than sort of his reputation. But I was also really so moved by the beautiful speech that the slave woman Briseis gives over his body as well, where she talks about his gentleness. Because that is a very unusual quality for for a character in ancient Greek mythology.
Sure.
And that's in the Iliad. So I think it was sort of the combination of those two things. Who is this person that means so much to Achilles?
Yeah, it's interesting talking about the looking for the backstory in the Iliad, because Homer's version of this story. He's really dealing with the surfaces. Charlotte Higgins said in her piece today in The Guardian about Your Wind that his characters wear their emotions like breastplates on the outside. Mm. But your novel is all about what's hidden underneath, what's hidden sort of within people. Was that a difficult thing to do, to dig deep like that?
Well, I think this is really where my theater background really came in handy, and I learned so much from directing plays, because writing from Patroclus was sort of like getting in character and really imagining, you know, and writing a scene. I'm sort of partially using my director's eye, that I'm imagining it, how the things might be said, how people are interacting, how it looks. So I think that helped. You know, I was in the habit of really imagining myself into people's minds, and so that was, I think, a really pleasurable thing to do.
So is it a case of looking for motivation then?
Yes.
And what the motivation that you give to Achilles for his grief at the loss of Patroclus is this idea that they've fallen in love, that they have a relationship, that they have a sexual relationship. And that's kind of quite a major piece of interpretation to put onto the story, isn't it? Did you feel confident about that?
I did feel confident. I mean, I know that, you know, it's that sort of thing of sort of, were they together as romantic partners or were they not? That has been debated for, you know, centuries, since the time of the ancients, where, you know, Plato and Aeschylus are sort of saying yes, and other authors are saying, oh no, we take them as, you know, just as companions. So I sort of felt like this is something that's been argued about, and I feel strongly that in my reading of it, just the way Achilles grieves to me spoke of a really strong romantic attachment, because he says to, or rather, he embraces Patroclus' corpse all night long. He won't let go of the body. He doesn't want to give it up. And he wants their ashes to be mingled together. So just all of that kind of, to me, spoke of the romantic. But it also has this long tradition of being interpreted that way.
Mm. It's great, isn't it? It's like thinking about sort of centuries and centuries of gossip, basically.
Right.
You know, the idea of Plato saying, well, I don't know, I think they were together.
Exactly.
It's the latest interpretation. When I was reading the book, one of the things that I thought about was that this is a story that we tend to encounter, first of all, as either children or teenagers. And obviously, it's the story, as you are telling it, is being told by an adolescent. And I wondered whether you yourself, as a teacher as well, I know that you teach Latin and Greek, whether when you were conceiving of your reader, you thought of him or her as adults or as adolescents as well, people the same age as Achilles and Patroclus.
Well, I, you know, certainly thought that that I hoped that adolescents would read it as well. Mm. That, you know, when I was writing it for an adult audience, in the sense of, you know, I wasn't writing a YA novel, but I very much hoped that that teenagers might enjoy it as well.
Any plans to move on to the Odyssey next?
Actually, yes.
Wow.
I don't think I'm going to stay in Homer's world forever. I would love at some point to write a contemporary novel, for instance, but I really found myself just loving writing the character of Odysseus. He was so much fun to imagine him, and I've always been really fascinated by the women of the Odyssey. I think there are some really strong and powerful female characters, Penelope and Circe, and of course Athena. So that's something I'm really interested in.
And are you actually writing now?
I have started. I've been doing a lot of touring, so it's difficult to write while I'm on tour, but as much as I can, yes.
Okay, that's really exciting. Okay, Madeline, thank you so much for talking to us, and congratulations again on your win.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.
Guardian Podcasts are partnered with audible.co.uk. For a free download, be sure to check out guardian.co.uk/audible, where Guardian listeners can choose any audiobook for free. See the page for more details.